My name is Hank Choate. I'm one of the owners of Choate's Belly Acres, partnership with my brother, son, and nephew. Our farm has been in existence for quite a while. Our main operation became a centennial farm in 2013, but part of our operation has been in the family farm for 180 years, really 100 and almost 182 years right now. So we've been in this area for a long time, primarily a dairy operation, but we do have a fair number of acres, bushels of grain as cash crop, corn, beans, and wheat. But primarily we're a dairy operation, and hopefully we'll be able to survive the downturn that we've got right now and continue to be so. The farm is located in southern Jackson County, about where the boundaries of Jackson Hills, Dillon, and Lenawee County intersect, just a mile west off from 127, so south part of Michigan.
Hank, you have a lot of involvements in different agricultural organizations. Can you share a little bit more about those and some of the boards you're part of?
Okay. I serve on the board of Michigan Milk Producers, a board member of Greenstone Farm Credit Services, a board member of UDIM, which is the dairy promotion arm of our dairy organization. Past involvements have been school board, township, planning commission, and DHIA, and also the Soil Conservation Service of years past. So been active throughout most of my career in other organizations and so forth, and so that's been primarily my background and understanding of where we are in agriculture, what our purpose is, who we serve, and so forth.
Since 2014, Michigan's dairy industry has really been changing with the dynamics that are available to our state and to the market. How has maybe some things on your farm changed, and what are you seeing as far as other Michigan dairy farmers the last 4 years?
Our farm has been in a planned growth mode for, I would say, probably a good 17 years. And in 2014, we added a heifer barn that allowed us to free up some free stalls that were being occupied by breeding heifers and such as that. So that allowed us to currently go up to the point of about 480 cows in the milking herd. When we built that barn in 2014, the intent was to finish that in the near future and open up a few more free stalls, but because of the downturn of the dairy economy and everything, we've made a decision that we were going to kind of stop our building mode and pay down some debt and just try to hold our own where we're at right now. So that's the philosophy that we're at right now, is as this down cycle is with us, is to continue to pay down some debt and remove some risk, and taking a look at, more focus on marketing opportunities and so forth to do some risk management within our operation, get a better understanding in regard to what our cost of productions are and when opportunities present themselves to cover our cost of production and make a margin, we have to take a little bit of that.
And as far as maybe what you've seen from neighbor farms or other farms in the state, what have been some of the situations they've been during that time too?
Well, a lot of it has been dependent upon if you're in a growth cycle or whatever. When you had your expansion, did you have your expansion early enough that you had the years of 2013, 14, and part of 15 of paying down some of that debt and getting in position to handle the situations we're in right now? But the reality of it is, since 2016, 17, and currently in 2018, it's been difficult for most producers to cover 100% of their cost of production and depreciation and still have a margin to have family members live on. So the reality of it is that almost all of us have been burning some equity to stay afloat. And like I say, my involvement in Greenstone Farm Credit Services has bring a greater awareness of the difficulty that some of the producers not only in dairy, but also other sectors of agriculture that are being faced with over the last two and a half years. So it's not just dairy that's being squeezed right now on the profit margin and so forth, but you've got some feed grains, hog producers right now, and poultry are also experiencing some very, very tight or non-existent margins that are on the negative side.
Can you expand a little bit more from the Greenstone board side? What kind of other issues are going on at this point?
Basically, what most of the borrowers are being faced with is that the margins are on the negative side, so it makes that difficult for them to cash flow operating expenses and so forth, and also pay down maybe any debt that they have within their operation and such. So Greenstone has worked with many producers, having a conversation in regard to what adjustments they might be able to make in their operation to kind of lean out some of the expenses that they may have, taking a look at reamortization on some loans that they've got and so forth. And then there has been some also producers that where they've taken a look at can we go interest only for a while, restructuring some things and stuff like that. So Greenstone has reached out to all of the borrowers that have been in those conditions to see what type of adjustments can be made and get them through this period and point in time and such. But the reality of it is that there's been a downturn, a downgrading in a lot of ag producers, what I would call their credit quality. And in dairy, that cycle has been so prolonged that most farms are really coming to their wits' ends. I know a lot of producers have made the comment, well, I'll just sell my cows and pay down some debt. Well, the reality of it is that there's so many cows going to market right now that the value of, and then not only that, but the number of borrowers out there, I should say buyers to purchase those cows has diminished to where we're hearing that the value of the cows are maybe 60% of what the producer had on their balance sheet. And so when you take a look at that, it really makes their income, or I should say their equity and debt position very, very tenuous. But the reality of it is that it's still the cash inability to cash flow that is squeezing a lot of these at the point where choices are going to have to be made.
Looking at some of the numbers, I have Michigan farms 20% down in the last 4 years, with about 10 of that in the last 10 months. What do you think is expediting maybe some of the farmer decisions or hearing from other neighbor farmers, what options they do have available?
Well, as you talk with a lot of producers and so forth, like I say, is that they've come to their wits' end, and so they're having the thought in their mind is how much more of my equity do I want to farm away? And so there are many out there that are becoming of the age to where they haven't got too many years to recover from this. So the point of being is the philosophy is that if I can get out and still have some of my equity in hand, maybe I should be taking a look at that. Producers that don't have the next generation, it may be an easier decision to make because they don't have the next generation to come up behind them. But having had conversation with many farmers that I represent and so forth, and the comment that is quite frequently made is that this isn't the position that I thought that I would be in my career of agriculture, of being forced out financially and not having much left. So it's really quite sad that it's reached this point. But a lot of farmers are taking a look at, and like I say, in regard to dairy, globally it's a much, say global market that we're having to deal with. Yes, Michigan has its own economy because of the lack of processing capacity, but the reality of it is increased processing capacity is only going to be treating the symptoms rather than treating what I would categorize an illness that we've got, and that is that global production is increasing 2.3% at the time that consumption is increasing 1.8%. So as we move on at the current levels of production and consumption, we're having a wider gap of overproduction in regard to consumption. So until that comes back in line, what I would categorize the recovery to make a lot of producers whole is not out there at this time. So that's the thing that a lot of producers are having to take a look at, is that, okay, if we do see a modest recovery, gain in some value of our mailbox price on the milk due to the cheese plant, due to a project that Michigan Milk will be having coming on production line on before the first of the year, is that going to have an appreciation of our mailbox price enough to allow me to keep going in hopes that maybe in a year and a half or 2 years when the cheese plant comes on that I will be able to be viable at that point in time. So a lot of tough decisions are going through farmers' minds right now, and like I say, a lot of it is going to be dependent upon their position of continuing to cash flow. And the reality of it is that a lot of farmers have some old equipment that in normal times they would have replaced several years ago. And what that is causing is that when they take a look at their income and expense statement, their line item of equipment repairs is going up much faster than at a higher level than what typically has been. And the reality of it is when you have a tractor that goes down and needs an overhaul, a feed wagon that blows a gearbox or whatever, you've got to do that now, whether you've got the money or not. And sometimes a vertical mixer wagon or a gearbox goes out, you're looking at $7,000-$8,000 to get that gearbox taken care of to where you can use that day in and day out. But you've got to do it.
Let's talk about that processing piece. Right now, about 25% of Michigan's milk getting shipped out of the state to be processed, with MDA saying about $160 million farmers lost last year just because of that. What are your thoughts on, you know, as these processing plants expand in that two-year time frame, where your basis could be, and if that would make, you know, the outlook a little better?
Well, it will help. One of the biggest savings that you're going to have is that transportation cost to ship that milk out of state is expensive. And then on top of that, what you're having to do, or you end up doing, is you're selling that milk at a discounted price. So both of those factors have a negative impact on your mailbox price when to you, the producer. But so you will see some savings there that will be realized. But the reality of it is that once the cheese plant comes up and starts producing, what you're doing is you're producing a commodity that is already has very, very soft or thin margins. So the return on the investment isn't going to be in processing that into cheese. Your gain is going to be in reduced cost of transportation and selling at a discounted margin. But the reality of it is the product you're producing is going to dilute the margin that within cheese that is already there. So unless you're having niche market or a value-added product that you're going to be processing, return on your investment is not going to be what we would like to be seeing for the dairyman. So like I say, we're treating the symptoms rather than correcting the disease. And until that imbalance of consumption and production comes in line, we probably won't see the necessary recovery that is going to make most of the farmers whole.
Michigan's milk production has been growing one of the most rapid rates in the nation, really over the last 10 years. Do you think the lack of processing and kind of the situation that's happening now, you could have saw coming, or how maybe some of the processors could have prepared better?
Well, it was one of those deals is that as you talk with a processor and so forth, is that I know in regard to our Michigan milk situation, talking 3-4 years ago, the processors wanted to do something, but it almost appeared you saw a mentality as though that we have you over, we have some leverage on you, and therefore many that we had conversations with, what they were willing to pay us for a milk supply contract was not very attractive, and in some instances was not attractive at all. And so it was senseless to enter into a 10 or a 15 year milk supply contract that you would have with someone that wasn't giving you the return that you would feel was necessary for your membership. But that's why you're seeing the willingness of the dairy co-ops to become, investors in the operation, such as the Glanbia DFA and the select milk producers. But the reality of it is that the margin on the cheese side of things, the production is not going to be such that it gives the added value to the members' milk that's being processed.
Michigan's not the only region facing supply and production processing issues. When you look at the Northeast, Wisconsin, and some of those other regions, do you think farmers need to take better control of what they're producing more regionally or more nationally?
Well, the reality of it is that the price that is required to make one producer viable is quite a wide range. I know that the universities have been talking for years that you need to become more efficient. And a lot of farmers have been saying, well, what the heck do I need to be doing becoming more efficient? But I think what we're realizing more and more now is that efficiency is maximizing your production while you can minimize the cost of that production. And some producers have figured out what needs to be done to do that and doing a decent job. So what is a cost of milk for one producer to stay viable is completely different for another operator. And some of that is due to size. And so when you take a look at the range of farms today versus 20, 25 years ago, 20, 25 years ago, if you had a 600-700 cow herd, you were considered a big herd, and you had herds that were all the way down to 50, 60. Today, you've got herds that are 6, 7, 8, 10,000 cows, and then herds that are also maybe, for the most part, around 100, 120, and everything in between. And so scale has some to do with that. And so, but it boils down that when you've got a limited number of units that you're producing, the margins that you're dealing with, it's hard to have an income to sustain a family and a living wage and so forth. So that's why more and more operations are looking at larger production masses and so forth. But you're going to constantly have that, but I can tell you is through the information that we've got from Greenstone, there are some large operations that are feeling the squeeze as much as what some smaller operations. So it boils down that efficiencies are based upon your ability to produce a product at a lowest cost control possible. So
Michigan's cow herd only declining by about 4,000, while production per cow continuing to go up over the last year or remain at least steady. Do you think there needs to be a bigger call of the herd here?
I think you're starting to see that. I know that we had a milk meeting yesterday, and when you take a look at the production within the state of Michigan, Michigan's production where we were growing 4 or 5% over the previous 12-month period is now to the point where we're starting to see some contraction, some shrinking in the increased milk production within the state. And so you're starting to see. I know within Michigan Milk, we have seen some drop of milk production. If I remember correctly, I think the last numbers for the state of Michigan was a negative 0.4%. So where we were growing 4 or 5% over this last month, the month of July, is that you had a negative 0.4%. And that's most of that is due to the point that you're seeing farms going out of business, where you used to see maybe a 25% of the herd that was being sold going to slaughter. Now you're seeing a higher percentage of those cows being sold for dairy, or those dairies that are going out of business, anywhere from 30 to 40%, and I've heard as high as 100% of the herd going for slaughter because they've haven't been able to keep the feed, purchase feed to keep the production up there, and so they're where they may have been, say 70, 80 pounds, their herd average may be down to 50 pounds or whatever, and there's not too many dairymen out there that are willing to purchase a cow that's only averaging 50 pounds of milk unless they're ready to go into their dry period. So the economics of things are starting to have an impact on bringing the market production down. But what we really need is, along with that, is that we need a market that consumes the product that we are producing too. So, and that's been difficult with I want to say the trade situation that we've been dealing with over the last few months. But so. Hopefully that'll get corrected soon.
Michigan's crop year for 2018, pretty dry. How does that impact those feed costs? Are you able to grow enough feed to get you through to the next season? Or what are some of the issues there that are also weighing into this?
Well, it's definitely going to have an impact, depending on your location and so forth. I know in our area, I think all of Michigan, except just some small areas, were wet into the spring, so they were late in getting the crop in. Some places were able to get it in, and they had to do some replanting, had to go in and spot plant because of some problems. And then much of Michigan kind of entered into a dry spell. So I know yesterday's milk meeting is that you've got producers up in the mid part of the state that have been dry for quite some time. Our area in southern Michigan, we had a wet spring, and then once we got the crop planted, it almost seemed as though the rainfall came to an end. We had the hot weather, and I know in our area, crops kind of came to a standstill. We started getting some rain. We were maybe 2 weeks behind some other areas, but once the rain started to come in, the corn that had gone dormant because of the hot weather came on and started to put on some ears. But the reality of it is you've got a short crop out there, so it's going to take a great number of acres to make the volume of corn silage that we need. I think the feed-to-grain ratio is going to be decent because it looks as though it's making grain, but it's just going to take a lot of acres. Hay crop for some farmers has been short, so it's going to be dependent upon whether they had any carryover from the year before. But it will have an impact on potentially as to whether you're going to have enough feedstuffs to get through the year or whether you're going to have to purchase feeds. And so purchasing feed when you've got a narrow margin on your milk check already is going to be very, very difficult for a lot of farmers. So it's going to be a challenge along with poor milk prices as to whether you've got to purchase feed and so forth. So,
still with that, let's say 2 years down the road, what do you expect to see maybe continue to change or be pressured for yourself on the farm and with other farmers in the state?
Well, a lot of it's going to be dependent upon what happens globally. If the EU, we're seeing that the European community countries are being stressed with their milk production because of some dryness and so forth. So it depends as to whether they turned around and improved their productivity in the coming years. New Zealand, they had a challenge in regard to milk production this last year, but they will be starting a new production year here come the next few months. Their cows, their pasture-based system will start to calve here before long. And if they have good rainfall and so forth, they could come back to normal production levels. That's going to open up some opportunities for some profitability there. But what we're reading is that China has been cutting back on exports. I don't know as to whether their economy is not, I guess, performing the level that's going to be able to sustain the import of proteins and so forth that they've had over the last few years. But it's going to be dependent upon the global economy as to whether we really get back to a viable economy for the dairy.
So, Hank, what keeps you going when all these challenges are going on? What keeps you and your family keeping on farming?
Well, I guess I could say for me, it's nothing I've ever done, so I don't know whether I don't know whether to do anything more, whether I'm too old to make a change. But what keeps us going is we've had a strong foundation underneath us, and the fact that I've got the next generation that is has a desire to continue to farm, and hopefully the family be able to see 200 years of continuous ownership where a family homesteaded. So that's what keeps us going. I can honestly tell you that it's not fun to sit down and try to pay the monthly bills with the milk dollars that you've got. But as I take a look at the cost of our production and use of forward milk contracting and everything, I've got to discipline myself that if there is a margin to lock in, we have got to take it and utilize that rather than the philosophy, well, it might be higher when that month settlement comes around, because over the last 3 years, there's been marketing opportunities that we've seen go by that we haven't taken advantage of, that if we were to have done that, it'd been a different picture. I made the mistake about 4 weeks ago of setting down and totaling up the total pounds of milk that we've produced in 2015, 2016, 2017, in the first 5 months of 2018. And if we'd had just $1 a hundredweight more, it would have been over $500,000 additional dollars of milk revenue to our operation. And I can honestly say is that that would have gone a long way of maintaining the foundation we had underneath us. So it's one of those deals is that know the cost of your production. When you see some opportunities to lock in a margin that is profitable for us, we've got to discipline ourselves to do it and get out of the mindset that it could be higher when I want to deliver that milk.
More resources coming available with USDA's Margin Protection Program and Farm Bureau having a Dairy Revenue Insurance Program. Are those products that you guys are taking advantage of, or what is there a benefit for your farm?
Well, in regard to our operation, we were with the Milk Market Protection Program, we were able to sign up for it. The fact that we were able to take a look at past months before we actually had to sign up to see as to whether it was going to be viable or not, that has allowed for some recovery, but it's nothing where as near what is needed to make any producer whole. We will definitely take a look at it as we move into this next year. I will be going to a meeting down in Adrian tomorrow that we'll be having a conversation in regard to this kind of like a insurance similar to crop insurance for dairy production to try to get an understanding as to whether that is something that we need to take a look at for risk management and so forth. We're definitely, I don't care who you are, you're going to have to understand just exactly what those programs offer you. And like I cannot emphasize enough, knowing just exactly what your cost of production is, what the cost, what the number of dollars that you have to repay your debt, and also leave something there for a family living and so forth. So it's causing all of us that are left in the business to be more total, business minded in regard to how we operate our businesses.
USDA this week's trade mitigation program offering 12 cents a hundredweight for farmers for about half of their production over a period of time. Is that something that you'd all to take advantage of, or what are your thoughts on having that offered?
Well, it's one of those deals we'll definitely take a look at and take advantage of it, but the reality of it is that it's a Band-Aid on a cut that is bleeding quite profusely, so it's not going to correct and make the producer whole. It gives them a little more time of trying to decide just exactly what they need to do, and it definitely will help in regard to paying some of the bills, but many producers out there, it will fall short of what will be needed.
And kind of off onto a side, looking at some of the numbers from the Department of Ag, Hillsdale County had the most farms closed in the last 4 years, 40%. What's going on in that area? Or because you're kind of a neighbor, or what part has changed for the dairy industry in that part of the state?
I think it's boiled the farms that I know that have gone out. They've just come to realization that they're worn out. They're tired of not having enough money to pay the bills and to provide a viable living for their family. The margins are so tight, so constricted that they just cannot make it. And producer after producer that I talked to has said that I'm worn out. I've become exhausted. And so it's, I think I had somebody tell me the other day is that Hillsdale County, they were only able to count up like 8 or 9 dairy farms left in the county. And so that's, and Hillsdale is quite an agricultural county, but it's shifting more and more away from livestock agriculture. And the reality of it is that cash grains isn't offering that much better of a margin, if any margin right now as well. But the losses that they're seeing within their milking operations is that they've made the decision is that I'm not going to farm away any more of my equity in the manner that I have over the last 3 years.
Hank, any other thoughts kind of weighing on your mind as a dairy farmer or looking at what's going on in the industry here in Michigan?
Well, the fact that we will be having some processing capacity come to the state that will have a positive impact on the member pay price. It's going to be a factor as to each individual operator as to whether that is going to be enough to cause them to hold on to hope that maybe in two and a half years time the cheese plant coming on will give us a little bit more of a boost. But the reality of it is that the imbalance of overproduction and not increased consumption utilization staying with that, it squeezes the margins that we deal with. So,
and any other thoughts to leave us with?
I know there have been producers that have been asking some type of a production controls, and at our board meeting yesterday, it was shared with us that there was a conference call with National Milk Producers Federation, and the tone of the conversation nationally has finally reached a point that the producers in Michigan have been facing over the last couple of years, and it sounds as though there is becoming a greater willingness of producers all across the U.S. to maybe see as if there's a conversation that could be had to try to bring production and utilization more in a line and so forth. So it'll be interesting to see as to whether the dairy industry has reached a point of having that conversation. But the reality of it is, to have something that is going to be effective, is that it's going to have to be nationwide. It can't be one region and not others and so forth. So it'll be interesting to see as to whether the dairy farmers can come up with a plan that that is, I guess, agreed upon by all, and then as to whether there's an appetite by farmers, processors, and legislators to get into a dialogue as to whether that something is can be viable for the U.S. domestic production or the industry. Sounds as though those discussions are going to take place very near future rather than a longer term because of the urgency that it appears as though it's taking place across the entire U.S.
Well, that'll definitely be interesting to see.
It will be interesting. I know farmers that I have bumped into at various meetings have indicated that the thought process has reached a point that that discussion has to be taken place and with seriousness and so forth. So I know that when we take a look at the member loss on our Michigan milk report that we get as a board, there's been the Amish are getting out of the dairy industry very, very rapidly and going to other sectors of agriculture to operate their farms. And so I know when taking a look at our Michigan milk numbers, I want to say through this year's fiscal year, which is starting October 1 through, I think it was July numbers, Michigan Milk has had exit of 122 farms. With 122 farms, that's more than 10% of our membership on an annual basis, because that still has the month of August and September on farms going out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, I think, in the neighborhood of around, at one time just recently, right in the neighborhood of around 1,100 farms, plus or minus.